And hello, everyone. Welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix. And with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen Frederick Masick, otherwise known as Stephen the Medium or Stephen the Attorney.
That's right. He happens to be an attorney, a medium, and my amazing husband.
Thank you.
And happy Friday, everyone. Stephen, how are you?
I'm excellent.
You are excellent. So am
yes.
I. And
yes.
I'm really excited about today's conversation because, you know, we have many guests come to our show. Last week, we had an amazing guest, Dr. Jonathan Bradward, who, you know, the conversation was really incredible, Stephen, about men's health. But, you know, today it happens to be you and me. And I think when we have the opportunity to just be the two of us, I love it because it's an opportunity to bring people into what life with us look like. Because these are the kinds of conversations that you and I have quite frequently, right?
Absolutely. And I just say, wherever I go, I know he goes. So, right?
Yep. That's Stephen for you. So today's conversation is about life unfiltered, conversations on the human experience. So we're gonna get real. We're going to talk about our experiences. You know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not as good, but they're part of life nevertheless. And I think the golden nugget is in learning to embrace all of it and learning to find that silver lining in life, because, you know, life is life, right? Whatever happens, happens. So we don't control that, but we always control how we're going to respond to whatever it is that happens. And plenty has happened to us. And Stephen, before we go on, we have to say welcome back to our amazing producer, Mr. Mark Clark.
Yay.
Yay for Mark. Mark, welcome. We are very thankful to have you back. Mark was in New York City, and he had a little bit of a health scare and was in the hospital. And but he was finally able to recover, get well, and he's back with us. And we are super grateful to have you back, Mark.
Thank you, and I'm very super grateful to be here.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you just couldn't do a normal let's go on vacation to New York and have a great time. No. You had to just go all in. And but we're so excited that you're back, and you sound fantastic. So
yeah, thank you. Well, the first 2 days were wonderful.
Sure,
that's good.
Yeah, and you know what? Every posting that he put on Facebook, Stephen, he felt like he was sticking it to us.
Yeah,
you
the
know,
food?
He's posting. Yeah. These parma frites and these beautiful hot dogs and then Chinese food. I'm like, damn, I'm going to delete you if you keep posting, you know, all of these goodies.
In New
Facebook.
York, mind you.
In New York, in one of our favorite cities in the world, mind
right.
you. So.
Right.
But Mark, it looked like you had an amazing 2 days before your, you know, health.
Oh, yes. Going to see the late show being taped with Stephen Colbert at the Ed Sullivan Theater was just amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
How they put it all together and, you know, make an hour TV show, you know, in a very historic place.
Yeah, I was thinking, Mark, the energy in that place has to be, like, off the charts because you not only have Ed Sullivan, but all the guests that were there in and out of that building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Where the Beatles got their start in the United States.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
And it's just, it's like a party. You know, you go in there, they have a comedian that warms up the audience and the band's playing, and it's just a party, you know, a lot of fun, really, really. It's worth it. If you ever get to New York and you have a chance to get tickets for the show, you know, go.
This is
do
plug.
It.
Go.
Do it.
Right.
I think I love to do it. Yes, Mark.
Just
ahead.
A quickie. You were talking about my post the hot dog. Well, first of all, I had to go to Pomfret's. Yeah, you know, it's Belgian.
Steven, he had to go. He had no choice.
I didn't.
Yeah, seeking it. Yeah.
I didn't. And the next place John took me to, my lawyer friend John, is called Criff Dogs. It's a hot dog place, but what makes it unique, it's in an actual speakeasy from the 30s from Prohibition. There's a phone booth in the hot dog stand, and you go and pick up the phone, and it connects you with the bar that's next door that has a secret entrance, and the bartender has to let you in. So it's a pretty cool experience.
That is pretty wild. I didn't even know there was something like that still around.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, because those were like back in those days, they were like illicit like establishments, right? They were.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, right. It was crazy.
The
wow.
Mobsters in New York City used to go there.
Yeah. I mean, that's
one time.
Yeah, like, we're learning so much about our producer.
Yeah, I know. Mark, do they sell vegetarian hot dogs? Because Steven doesn't eat meat. So in order to get him there, I have to find something he can eat.
I just heard Oscar Mayer is coming out with a vegetarian hot dog.
Well, I mean, that's a thing. That's a real thing. There's
of course.
Vegan, you know, yes. hot dogs. So I'm yes. sure maybe they have some.
Last night I had
like
vegetarian lasagna. So
yes. Ooh.
That's
it was amazing.
Spinach lasagna? I love spinach lasagna.
All spinach, eggplant. This restaurant has the best vegetarian lasagna. Because, you know, you can get meatless lasagna, but it's just like the noodles and sauce.
Jeez.
But this is, actually, it's
layers
amazing.
Of vegetables.
Yes, amazing.
Ooh. Inside the noodles. It's really amazing.
I'm there.
It's really good. yes.
Well, thank you, Mark.
So thank you, Mark. Again, we're so happy to have you back in this show. I mean, we're super grateful. Mr. Jones, don't get me wrong. We're very grateful for you, for everything that you do, and I appreciate every time you step in. But we miss Mark.
Yes, of course.
We love Mark Clark. So anyways, thank you for being back. And Stephen, what else is going on? Give us the skinny on life.
Well, I am.
The unfiltered life, the unfiltered skinny.
Oh, I'm always unfiltered.
Yeah.
So that's what they tell me. But this morning, I went running, as I always do, behind or abutting our house is this 25 acre of conservation land. But it's a walking trail, and I run, and it's cross trail. It's just trail running is pretty spectacular. And I told you, Alex, you know, when you got home, that on my way back, I was at the tail end of my run, and a bird sort of came from behind me parallel and just flew by me. But I could tell by the sound of it that it was a different bird. And then I realized when I looked at it, as I could see the back of it going in front of me, it was a bigger bird. And at first I thought, is that a robin? Because robins are back now. But I'm like, that's bigger than a robin. And it was a good size. And I wasn't sure if it was a hawk or not. But, you know, it disappeared and I kept running. And then lo and behold, I am running and I'm, you know, I'm focusing on the path. And I sort of hear the wings again. And I look up and it was a hawk. And he went a little further. It's like he waited for me. And then when I was approaching him on this branch, he went further forward again. It was the coolest thing because then I got to, we have like a path in our backyard that walks right up to the conservation land. It's just, it's beautiful. So when I got to the edge of the conservation land into our yard, I stopped, as I always do, because I'm done, and I went to hit the application to pause it, and I look up, and the hawk is sitting there on a branch. And then I snapped a picture, and then he flew away, and it was like the coolest thing. And I just bring that up, never mind that it was so cool, but I knew it was spirit, and it's just one of those things that so many people, Elix, get signs like that. It doesn't have to be a hawk. It can be a coin. It can be a feather. And so many times, majority of times, people don't get it and just shrug it off as, it's a hawk, it's a coin, it's a feather. And just know that when you do that, your loved ones that have placed that there are crossing their fingers and saying, okay, this time it didn't work, but I'm not going to stop sending signs to my loved ones. So, but the day you get it is the day that everything changes. It's so, so great. Cause I can hear spirit just applauding and being so excited. Like
that you got
Stephen,
it.
Stephen got it. Stephen yeah. got it. And for that every one of it. You, the same thing. So,
yeah, I think that that's something that many people, I mean, I hear you often talking to people always wanting and looking for signs. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that the signs have been there all along. They just don't see them.
Absolutely.
You know, they just don't see them. What else is going on, Stephen? You have any upcoming events that we should be talking about?
Well, my nails look beautiful. I got a manicure and a pedicure. Yes. And it's from, he just does very particular clients. His name is, we go by Synthron. And he does amazing work. So I have clear nail polish. And guys have to have good nails too, not just women. Just saying.
I always tell Steven, if he had bad nails, we would never be married. I can't.
Well, you told me if I had ugly feet, we wouldn't be married.
No, both. Feet well, or I, hands. I can't. That's well. It's a deal breaker. So thankfully, you have both. So that would be a big problem. But yeah, your nails look beautiful. But you do have upcoming events.
I do. And I am, as we speak, events, pulling them up so I make sure I don't mess this up. And, well, that's not helping me.
Well, while you're looking, we know that you're going back to Cape Dawn and Sons. That was a sold-out event here in, is it Yarmouth?
Dennis? Yes, yes.
And you're going back. So anyone in the New England area, this is a place. It's an absolutely gorgeous place. It's in Cape Cod. This is going to be more summertime-like. So this, and you get to read everyone. And this is a very boutique place, a wine place. So you get to have incredible wines. There's tastings, and participants will get a 10% discount for anything that you purchase on the day of the event. So it's
that's really April 28th, and it's a Sunday, and it's 3 to 5, and it should be up on my website sometime today. So it's not there yet, so you can't purchase tickets yet, but it is a maximum of 16 people. And I think the first one I did, which was the last one, I think it sold out like in 24 hours of 16 people. So mm-hmm. because everyone gets read, and it's such a great atmosphere. And Erica and Adam, who own not only the Pheasant, but own this liquor store, are just amazing.
Dunn and Sons.
Dunn and Sons, yes. And then I do have an event that I'll have to, at the end of the show, I'll pull it up because I can't find it right now. And so that I make sure that I have the date and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, you know, it's about time. We need to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about life. And the question we'll be asking is, what is life? You know, we're going to get to discuss our human experiences, our general understanding of life for you, for me, for all of us, and what we can do to make it enjoyable, thriving, and purpose-driven. How about that, Stephen?
Perfect.
So we're going to take a small break. When we come back, this conversation is for you. So stay there, hang in there. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 508-222-1320. We'll be right back. And hello, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen Frederick.
Stephen the Medium, attorney. Stephen the Medium is in the house, also my husband. And today's conversation is about life unfiltered, conversations on the human experience. Now, life is the ability to be conscious and self-aware, and the capacity to experience subjective thoughts and emotions. It can also encompass a spiritual or religious perspective, attributing to the essence of life to a divine and transcendent force. Now today, Stephen and I, we're talking about our personal experiences in life and how we perceive it individually and as a family, as a unit. And we're getting vulnerable and real and have unfiltered conversations. How about that, Stephen?
I love that.
So, you know, and this comes at a really good time because, you know, over the last several weeks, we've experienced, you know, life actually, ups, downs, heartbreak, disappointment, all of the above, and that is all life. So let me start, you know, Stephen, by asking you, how do you define living life? What is life for you, Stephen?
Well, that's a difficult question as I'm just thinking of how do I define living life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your perspective is, you know, and I asked you first because living with you and experiencing this very unique perspective that you bring because, you know.
No, I know.
You have access to spirit. So I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, no, I understand the question. It's just, it's no one's ever asked me that. And that's not an easy question. And, you know, I think that my best answer to that would be doing your best to live in the present, which is so important. Doing the best to always remember you don't know what you don't know, and doing the best to always have the knowledge that as much as you push your limits out in life and think what life's all about, there is way more beyond that you don't know, you don't see, you know, in trying to look at that perspective in a multisensory way. So that's sort of how I guess I would describe living life and being grateful. I mean, I guess I could go on and on and on.
Yeah. It's interesting that you go to being present because that would be how I would answer that too. You know, and I've learned a whole lot of this from you, by the way. But for me, how I define life or living life to my fullest is being present. You know, and what does that mean, right? What, you know, and again, we need reminders all the time because it's not like being present is a constant because as human beings, we go in and out of being present. You know, every time we give power to our narrative or the story, and that's part of life, we're not present because we're in the story, right?
Yeah, so I think most people are out, not in.
I agree. And I think the power is not in trying to avoid that because that is also part of life, but rather recognizing when you go into that place and then learning to make that correction in real time. And then find ways to sort of anchor yourself so that you can then experience being present, experience the moment, the now, right? Because, you know, I mean, that I have one tattoo, right? And that's exactly what it says. All I have is now. That's it. All I have is the now. Because yesterday was gone, foregone conclusion. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. So all that we have is the moment, the now. But we forget, you know, and we need reminders of that. Right, Stephen?
Absolutely.
So, you know, so for me, let me share with you, you know, talk about unfiltered, talk about, being willing to be vulnerable. You know, the past several weeks have been really, really hard for me personally. You know, many of you probably would remember, maybe not, but my mom's one-year anniversary is coming up next week, as a matter of fact, March 30th, when she passed. So that's been very, very present for me. You know, in her passing was very difficult because I've never experienced, you know, being with somebody in that moment where they take the last breath. And in this case, happened to be my mom, right? So to me, that it took a lot of time to learn to heal from that. I also, because of the fall, because of her illness, experienced a lot of trauma. So I've been dealing with trying to recover from that, right? Getting over and learning to sort of like find ways to not allow that trauma to consume me or to get in my way, if you will. You know, and life happens, right? In the midst of, you know, you lose your mom, you're grieving, but life happens. And, you know, as I share with many of you, you know, we lost our 14-year-old dog, who's our child to us, because we don't have children, you know, 2 weeks ago. And it felt as if a Band-Aid was ripped off. So my wound was healing. It's not healed. And I don't think, Stephen, you can say that it's ever healed, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, but it's healing. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, this Band-Aid comes off. And I feel like I'm back to grieving all over again. And, you know, and there are moments where I can definitely go into that story, right? And you and I, briefly, because we really haven't touched much into it, but sometimes that story can be debilitating, because it really can get in your way of, it can be so disempowering that it just debilitates everything about you. And in the midst of that, and by the way, we came from a very high note, because 2 weeks ago when we had our show, we talked about our New York trip and how amazing that New York trip was, and meeting Boy George and having the time of our life. And then we go from that high to what felt like the lowest of the low, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is, for me, that is what I call life. And embracing, in learning, Stephen, learning to embrace all of it. Not dismiss the feelings, but learning to embrace all of it. Even the good and the not so good. What do you think, Stephen? Because again, you live with me, so you've experienced all of that with me.
No, I mean, I completely agree. I think when you talk about experience the good and the bad and just like feeling it and experiencing it, I think if before you get to that pass, if you will, if you are setting yourself up in trying to be conscious about being in the present as much as possible and starting off your day, you know, making sure that you show up with the best version of yourself, then I know it's sometimes weird to hear this, the challenges or the bad parts, what you talked about, Elix, of life, and then the good parts, they hit you the same way. You know, I know that you may think, well, how is that possible if it's bad and it's good? How does the bad not hit you the same? Like, it's got to hit you harder because it's not good stuff. But the point is, when it's like when you're so solid with yourself and those challenges, it's a very quick response as opposed to reaction. And it's sort of like it goes right through your head, right through your body, and you just dismiss it or get rid of it through Mother Earth. And it's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what, Stephen? In one of the things for me, again, in being present, is also being self-aware of the emotions that I'm experiencing, you know, at any given moment, both in the good and the not so good, right? And I can tell you, I experience moments of gratitude, like you said before, but also disappointment. And I had to be very careful with the disappointment, because the disappointment would lead to stories that would then take me out of being present. You know, and I don't know if you remember last week when we were talking to Jonathan Bradford, one of the things I shared was about, you know, somebody that I I appreciate, but he didn't even acknowledge, you know, my grief, because he said, I don't like to acknowledge it because I don't know what to say. And I felt disappointment in that moment, mm-hmm. right? I felt like disappointed that somebody that would say it's a friend or considers me a friend would not even be willing to acknowledge how I feel because they didn't know what to say. And it's that level of disappointment. I also, very recently, Stephen, I'm doing a grief seminar for coaches. And we went into session, into teams of two. So I was with one other person, and we were talking about different levels of grief and how there are levels of grief that are not acknowledged in the same way. You know, losing a pet is one of them, you know, where a lot of people dismiss it. It's just a pet, right? But for you and I, it's not just a pet. Right? For you and I is our child. And what I found really, it was insightful, but in a very disappointing way. The person that I was with, a coach, mind you, she asked me about my losses, and I talked about my mom, and I talked about our dog, little Ricky, and she immediately honed in on only my mom, as if the loss of little Ricky was not as important. And yet again, I felt yet disappointment again. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Here, and again, that story, if I stay there, it takes me out of being present.
Yeah.
You know, and the question that I have for you, Stephen, given, you know, what you do and how you connect to the spirit world, is how can I learn to get myself back on track so that I can be present even when I'm disappointed? Does that make sense? That
question? It is. I don't want to stop this because we need to take a break. So how about we just pick up after the break?
Oh, thank you, Stephen, because I was so in the story, I forgot about it. But yes, Stephen is right. We do need to take a break. When we come back, I'll let Stephen take the ball and roll with it. Okay, we'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen Frederick.
Stephen, the medium, is in the house. Also, my amazing husband. Actually, most importantly, my amazing husband. And today we're having a conversation about life unfiltered, conversations on our human experience. And before the break, I was asking Stephen, how do I be present even when I'm disappointed?
That is a great question that I think a lot of people think about. And let me just start off by answering it this way. Years and years ago, because we were talking about dogs and how they're family, when I was still living at home, I was in high school, I found these two gigantic, enormous dogs, St. Bernard and St. Bernard and Collie. And they were just rescues. They were just like rescue from the street, that is. I just saw them in front of a store. I went back in, got them chips, fed them. They followed me home. And 12 years later, they stayed with us. When the dad, Jesse, died, I remember calling my best friend, Paul, who I've talked about a lot always, and he is still my best friend. We text every day. We talk every day. And I remember we've been friends since freshman year of high school. And I remember, and I will never forget this, that I called him and was very upset and told him that Jesse died. And for whatever reason, we're talking back in high school, he made a comment that, you know, well, you know, it's just a dog. This is my best friend. Mm-hmm. And Listen, we all say things sometimes we don't mean the way it comes out, and I understand that. And I remember the, not disappointment, or I guess it's connected, the disappointment and the anger in me was, like, if I was a cartoon, I would have had steam coming out of my head. And I remember specifically, I was so angry, I said to him, well, when you call me someday to tell me, say that your niece dies, I'm going to say to you, this is just a niece. And I hung up, and we didn't talk for, like, it was probably a couple of months. Now, did that satisfy anything with him saying that to me and then me coming back? It's probably worse on me because it was so intentional and I was just so angry. And, I, you know, back then I was just a very angry person anyway. So we got through it and I understand now and I get, you know, this it wasn't meant the way it came. And of course, it's all done. And, you know, again, he's my best friend and always will be. So now you fast forward to answering your question, Elix. If the same situation happened, you know, maybe the same thing or to a degree like that in your particular case, you know, your experience, you're so, so frustrated. I think, you know, the first thing, and I think you said it, Elix, the first thing you have to do is just acknowledge what you're feeling. It's okay to feel pissed off or angry or hurt or upset. I think you need that. You just need to let that go through. And I think, but the second thing you have to remind yourself is giving some empathy to the person who said it in the sense, and believe me, if this was 10 years ago, you'd never be hearing me say this because I just wouldn't have been able to say it. Never mind do it. And I still struggle with this is giving that empathy of where it came from. Like, you know, and even envisioning, did this person maybe, you know, when she or he was younger, did they have an animal that was just brief and the parent got rid of it and it crushed their heart. And so they just from that point on just stopped connecting with the animals, and that's where they're coming from. You know, you don't know. And yes. And that's the whole point, is that if you don't know, why not give the benefit of the doubt and go to sort of the empathy piece of it, the explanation of why that may happen. Now, I get if you've got somebody who continuously says things that you get to a point like you know that's deliberate or intentional, and then you decide whether you want them, you know, just remove them from your life, whatever the case may be. But I think for the most part, if you start with that sort of empathy, and also because of being a medium, I come from a very spiritual place every single day. So my third piece, if there was three steps to that, my, you know, feeling everything, feeling how you're feeling. The second thing is the empathy. The third piece really would be just sort of understanding that when you're in a place of disappointment, sadness, grief, all of those kind of pockets, I call them energy pockets, it is virtually impossible for you to be able to connect with your loved ones in spirit. Your dog who died, your mother who died, your dad who died, your cat who died, because they come from this amazing, like, positive, like, frequency, and it's very difficult for them to sort of penetrate through when we're in those very depressive pockets. And really what that means is that, as you said earlier, Elix, when you're in those pockets, it is almost virtually impossible for you to not only see signs, but connect with spirit. People don't understand that your mom or dad in spirit or whomever can actually also just send you, like, we can send energy to people. They send energy to us, hoping or making us feel better. And when you're in those pockets, it's very, very difficult to feel anything. And it's also going against what everyone in spirit tells me, that they want us to live our best lives and just be happy and not hold on to things and use that graciousness and that empathy. And I guess that's how I would answer it.
Yeah, no, I love that, Stephen. And honestly, as I'm listening to you, I was most present to when you give forgiveness, empathy, kindness, grace to that other person, even in the face of disappointment, right?
Right.
You're not only giving it to them, but you're giving it to yourself.
Absolutely.
And when you give it to yourself, that creates that opening to be present again. You talked about the pockets of being depressed, when we all get into those pockets. So this is not about being diagnosed with depression. This is about those moments, those pockets where we feel, you know, down or depressed. And our producer made a very insightful comment. So, Mark, I'm going to ask you to come in and share with us about what you just shared with me and Stephen during our break.
Oh, thank you. I get sometimes into a mode where I don't feel like I'm living life. I feel like I'm just existing. Okay, I'm here, I'm breathing, I'm talking, but I'm not living life, okay? I had a little trouble, and I still do, getting to grips with. I'm older now, I'm a senior citizen. I walk with a cane, I don't do the things I did, you know, 20 years ago. So sometimes, and living alone, I'll sit there and I'll say, well, I'm not really living, I'm existing. But then, like when I was sick last week, all the people online on Facebook that sent me prayers and well wishes, and you take a look at that, and you have to be living, because that wouldn't happen if you weren't living life. So this is kind of this show and the listeners and you guys especially make me realize that I am living and that I have a pretty doggone good life.
That's wonderful, Mark. And honestly, I think that what you just share is something that everyone listening can connect with, including myself, and I know, Stephen, you as well, that there are times where we all experience that moment of just existing. And when you're just existing, life goes by you. You're definitely not present. You're definitely not paying attention to the golden nuggets. What would you say, Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, I would 100% agree with you. That's exactly, really, that's how life is. And it's really, it's up to us as we're on this journey to figure out as much as we can figure out. Constantly in readings, Spirit will tell me, because they've done this and now I'm talking to them because they're dead, they will constantly just keep bringing up that in a snapshot, in a blink of an eye, it's done, it's over. And, you know, we come down here, we're placed here in for a reason, and every one of us has a meaning or a reason. And you know, the best thing we can do is just be open enough to learn. That's what it's all about.
I love that, Stephen. And we need to take a break. Before we did the show, Stephen and I were having a conversation, and Stephen shared with me about, you know, every time he does groups, I'm always there, and I spend 2-3 hours sitting in the audience, or I'm always helping Stephen, not just sitting. But it's interesting, because when I'm listening, that is probably one of the most common takeaways from every reading that you do, is that constant reminder from our loved ones in spirit to not miss the real meaning of life here. And so I think when we come back, Stephen, I want to ask you more about that. But we do need to take a break, so let's take a break and we'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing husband and co-host,
Stephen the Medium.
Stephen the Medium is in the house, and we're talking about live unfiltered conversations on the human experience. And before we go on, we do have a caller. Hello, welcome to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. Who's this?
Hi, Coach Elix. This is Lisa.
Hi,
Lisa. Hi. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss, Coach Elix. And second of all, I want to thank Stephen because a couple of weeks ago I called and asked him about meditation. And I have been practicing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mark was just saying a few minutes ago how he feels like he was just existing and the day-to-day. And I have felt that way also. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to meditate and just kind of get in tune with what I wanted. And this week, I bought tickets to three different concerts coming up this summer because I just want to get out and I want to start to live again. Oh, I want my life to be more than just work and existing and the day-to-day. I want things to look forward to that are for me, you know.
That's awesome.
And I have to say that the meditation has helped me. And then one other thing, I want to go back to Elix and your sense of loss and everything. And, you know, I lost my parents 20 years ago and then 4 years ago. And I have pictures of both of them in my kitchen because I am a cook and the kitchen was a very integral part of our lives growing up. And I feel about death is that they're not gone until the last person, which would be their youngest grandchild, is gone, because we all have memories of that person. And so I know physically, right? I mean, I get it, right? I know that I can't go over and visit them, but they're in my head. I mean, they're in my kitchen, they're in whatever I'm making, or when I'm singing in a chorus, because he was a choral director. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
they're there. That's what I have
amazing.
To say for you.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. That is, oh my goodness. Thank you for sharing that, Stephen. I mean, he's a keeper, Lisa. So I know what you mean about how amazing he is and in the meditations, how big of a difference.
Yeah.
So listen, anything you want to tell Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa, when you told me about buying those tickets to the concerts, I had goosebumps through my body, and it was partly because I'm just so excited for you, but it's also partly because your loved ones, you know, that's how they communicate with me when I do readings. It was all your loved ones just like applauding you, how excited they are that you're doing this. That's all they want, because they live vicariously through you. So, and I hope, Lisa, you take a second to you know, just sit with your energy and who you are and your soul, and just, you know, give yourself a pat on the back, because most people don't get to the place you're at. They just don't.
Yeah. You know, it's so easy to say no to things, right? It's
so
easy.
Yes. So this is, oh my God, I'm so glad you called, Lisa.
Yes. And Lisa's speaking to all of you, by the way. So
if
you know Lisa, what she just said about existing just like Mark, calls to you, this is your opportunity to do something like what Lisa, for you may not be going to a concert. It may just be doing something that you have been wanting to do, and this is the time. And I'm telling you, Lisa, one thing Stephen and I live, that's the one thing we live, to do the things we want. And we don't second guess spending money to do something that is what we want to do, especially if we're doing something together. So I am so happy that you're going to your concerts, and I know that that's going to be Lisa living life fully. Thank you for calling, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you for your show. I love it.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Stephen, you know, honestly, I wanna ask you a question, because I want you to close the show with your personal and professional insight. One of the things, especially we just talked about, you know, one of the most common phrases that we hear, we talk about, is, you know, discovering the meaning of life, right? And it can be said, meaning of life is the significance of living or existing in general, right? But I want you to speak to our audience and help them understand the questions that we all ask ourselves. Why are we here? What is life all about? And what is the purpose of our existence? What would you say to our audience?
That's a great, great number of questions. And I will tell you, or the best way I can answer that, why am I here? I love that question. And I think it's a starting point. Why am I here? And I think if someone's actually, as you just asked me, Alex, asking that question, I would say, you know, ask yourself, why am I here? And start with breaking that statement up. So maybe start with the last word in that sentence, here, and just start focusing on what is here? Like, where exactly is here? And then, you know, you start from the beginning, like the very fundamental levels of, okay, well, I'm sitting on a chair, and I'm just using me right now. Yes. I'm sitting on a chair, and I have a desk in front of me, and I have a desktop and a microphone because we're doing the show. And this is my office in the house. And then you just keep expanding. Okay, and then this is the house. And then this house is on this land in this town. And you just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you may just think, well, again, that is fundamental. And what's the point? The point is, well, there's so many points to it. But number one, when you're doing that, you're in the present. You can't do that without being in the present. And that's where the magic happens, right? You want to be in the place where the magic is because you want the answers. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I doing? So when you get to that, those levels, and you start, like, you know, using that example, and then, okay, then this is Earth, and then Earth is in the universe. And then you get to the highest point you can get. And then you just look at, sort of in your third eye, where the highest point is. And then you remember, or you remind yourself, then there's the stuff that's beyond that, that I have no idea. But what I do know, it's there. I don't know much about it. And I can only be hopeful and grateful that I do get to know more about it. And like, as Lisa said, in meditation, because that happens a lot, you know, when you meditate and you're connecting with so many higher levels, that's, and then you can start, it's just a starting point. And if I had hours, I could get into this, but you know, you just sort of select a part of that sentence, as I mentioned with the here, and you just go from there. And I think also the curiosity is such a big factor in why am I here. But I think even, you know, your intent, you have to start with your intention. Like, if you're sitting down, why am I here? You have to start with the intention is to figure this out, even if it takes me the rest of my life, which for the most part it will. We never know everything, right? So every second, every day, we just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. But I will tell you one thing, what Lisa said. The fact that Lisa picked three concerts,
yes,
and purchase tickets for, what Lisa may or may not know is that she started this gigantic ball rolling, and that it's all connected. So when she goes to that first concert, there is a very high probability that something significant will happen. She'll meet somebody, whether it's just a great relationship, an intimate relationship, you know, whatever her life's in, or where it is at that point. And it's spiraling. It just keeps going, all connected. So in other words, what Lisa pretty much said, and I guess that's how I'm answering, what am I here for? Yes. Is that Lisa just said to her universe, listen, I'm done. I want to live. I want to know why I'm here. I want to know more of my meaning here. So by doing this in movement, the universe is going to start handing it down to you.
I love, love, love that. I want to share with all of you, quote a paragraph from a document I actually use with all of my clients, and it's the paragraph reads, since now is the only time that you have in reality, and now will never seem to be the right time to act, one might as well act now, even though it isn't the right time. Given that the right time will never come, acting now is at least powerful, even if you don't get to be right. Most people wait for the decisive moment, whereas the people of power are decisive in the moment. So listen to what Stephen said and do whatever it is that your heart calls you to do, and do it right now. So Stephen, we're at the top of the hour. How can people connect you? Where can they find where you're going to be? Because you have several events coming up.
you can just go under StephenTheMedium.com. That's where my website is. And something I was talking about earlier that I didn't have the details, April 13th in Marlborough, Mass. And you can find all this on my website. I'm doing an event. It is from 1 to 3. It's a Saturday. It's 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And I think it's not a huge venue. It's like 90 people. So I believe tickets are still open. You can purchase tickets. So if you're anywhere near that area, come see me. You get to see Elix too, which is a great thing. And again, social media and my website is Stephen the Medium.
And you can find me at Coach Elix anywhere on social media. And next week, we have Stephen takes over the show.
Yes.
So you want to tune in. And if you want a reading from Spirit, that's the time to do it. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mark Clark. Glad that you're back, healthy, Yay. And stay tuned because Mark Clark's show.
You changed his name, Mark Clack. Oh my,
I know. What's the name of the show again?
Mr. Clack. It's Mark's Jukebox.
Jukebox. It's coming up. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend and stay tuned for Mark's show coming up. Bye.
Bye-bye.